there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. I'm not going to go into news headlines extensively today. I want to have a calm discussion with my friend Stephen in Panama about the urgency of the times we are living in, so that you and I hear God's instructions to our lives and that we obey. This has been a wonderful day for us. It's been a wonderful day. It started out very early this morning. The annual Vero Beach prayer breakfast was held in a giant tent along the Indian River. Over 2,000 Christians from Vero Beach, Florida, attended the breakfast. What an event. The presence of God filled that tent. The speakers were Pat Boone and Dr. Ravi Zacharias. And it was just an awesome event. And this was the best one I've attended so far. The whole True News staff was there. We were one of the sponsors of the event. And we'll be playing some excerpts from that event on, I think, tomorrow night's Revelation Radio program with Dan Duvall, that is heard on our new World Band International Shortwave programming that goes out every night, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. on frequencies 5850 and 7455. If you listen to shortwave radio, make sure you check out those frequencies, 5850, 7455. Let us know if you're picking them up in your location and give us a listener report. But I think Dan is going to broadcast excerpts from the Vero Beach Prayer Breakfast on tomorrow night's program. So make sure you check that out. Also, if you remember this, write this down. Tomorrow morning around 8 a.m., I really ask you to pray for my daughter, Carissa. She is in Quito, Ecuador. She will have a very important meeting in the morning in a Ecuador courtroom with a judge and the parents of little Maria and her four brothers and sisters. And this is about custody of the children. And all I can say right now is Satan has put up a horrendous battle to drag those children back into witchcraft and alcohol and drugs and shamanism and all the other stuff that's involved in Amazon tribal life. And tomorrow morning will be a very, very important day. So please pray and intercede that Carissa will have favor with the judge and with the parents, and that this long, long battle for little Maria and her siblings will come to an end, and that the judge will make a ruling for what is best for these children. And I believe what is best is that they be raised in a Christian environment where they will be taught the ways of the Lord, where they will know the name of Jesus, and they will grow up to be outstanding, strong, devout Christian men and women. Just look at little Maria. She just turned four, and she's already having prophetic dreams. Jesus is talking to her in her sleep, And we're believing that little Maria is going to be healed from the head trauma that she suffered as a little two-year-old. And that's why she can't talk other than a few words right now. And we're just believing that God's going to touch that child, and she is going to prophesy. She's not going to stop talking. So pray for them tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Also, regarding the International Shortwave broadcast, we are still receiving pre-orders for the fantastic little handheld portable shortwave radio. We're giving them away as our appreciation for a love gift of $110. You're not buying a radio. You're supporting True News with a gift of $110. But we want these radios in the hands of as many people as possible. I think it's the best little shortwave radio I've ever owned, and I've owned a lot of them in 15 years. And this is a fantastic radio, and the reception is great. It's small. It's lightweight. It'll fit in your shirt pocket. That's how small this thing is. And we will ship one out to you. Now, if you're part of the group that ordered the first batch of 540, most of those radios are in the mail right now on its way to you. Now, the company is providing another 1,000 radios to us at the end of this month, and we're already near the halfway mark of March. So in about 2 weeks, we'll have those radios here to ship out, and we're receiving pre-orders for them. I don't even know what the count is. Y'all are ordering radios so fast, I can't keep up with it. I just see a lot of activity here in the office, and I know the phones are ringing, the mail's coming in, and the internet is full of requests for the radios. So I don't know how close we are to the 1,000 mark, but I know it's getting really, really close. So if you want to be one of the people that receives a radio at the end of March, please get your $110 donation to us as soon as possible. I haven't even had time to ask the company if they're going to produce more in April. I don't know. Things are so busy here right now, I can barely keep up with the growth and the activity. God is just doing something awesome here at True News. We're growing. We're expanding. The blessing of the Lord is on us. This is the hour. This is the time that this ministry was destined to be on the planet. We have a divine purpose, and this is our hour. God has taken care of us for 15 years. He's always made sure this ministry was cared for. But this year, 2014, it's like the gates have opened. And, you know, at a racetrack, and the thoroughbreds are running. That's what I feel like. Like, I've heard the bell and the gate open, and we are running. Something has happened this year. There is something different in the air for us this year. And I hope you're feeling it, too. I hope you're sensing it, too. I really believe that if you're a partner of this ministry, and you've been sowing and giving and planting into this ministry and praying for us and interceding for us, I believe the blessings of God are on you right now, too. Because I am a firm believer that whatever happens to a minister in that ministry also happens to the people who are in a covenant relationship with that ministry. And many times when the minister is going through a battle with spiritual warfare, often we find out that the partners are going through spiritual warfare battles. And when there's a breakthrough, the partners get a breakthrough. We're in this together. I'm telling you right now, there is a breakthrough. This is a time of breakthrough. And I'm believing that my wife, Susan, is going to be delivered any day of the affliction that has gripped her body for almost 5 months now. My praying has changed over these 5 months, and where I'm at now is I am simply introducing the sickness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sickness, this is Jesus. You two work it out. See what he has to say about your infection of my wife's body. Because I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus is on the scene, sickness leaves. That sickness is an illegal trespasser in Susan's body. It has no legal right to be there. And we are rebuking it We are standing in the name of Jesus against it, and I believe any day Susan's going to wake up. I keep telling her joy comes in the morning. Honey, joy comes in the morning. Don't be depressed. Don't be sad. Joy comes in the morning. You're going to wake up one morning, and the swelling's going to be gone. The pain is going to be gone. The stiffness is going to be gone, and you're going to be back to normal. And I believe that's coming, and I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus Christ. So we want to stand with you also. I pray for our partners. I pray that God blesses you. I pray that God anoints you. I pray that the favor of God is upon you. Because, my friend, without you, I couldn't do any of this. I couldn't do it. You are the lifeblood of this ministry. And I simply couldn't do what God called me to do without you. And I pray for you. And I ask God to bless you. I ask God to fight your battles. I ask God to uplift you and encourage you and to heal your bodies and mend your marriages and fix your families and just put everything together that the devil has ripped up. I hate the devil. I hate him. There's no good in him. And all he does is steal, kill, and destroy. And he rips up people's lives. But Jesus Christ puts it back together. So don't give up. You just keep believing. Keep trusting the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will mend and put back together and heal whatever the devil has torn up in your life. Now, before I bring Stephen into the program, I'm going to just mention just a couple headlines, because I want these headlines to set the stage for our discussion. First, German Chancellor Angela Merkel delivered a strong rebuke to Russian President Vladimir Putin. She said the West will not allow Russia to get away with seizing control of Crimea. Now, these are strong words. Now, these are fighting words. In the USA, the House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly 402-7 to support a resolution that denounced Russia's actions in Crimea, called upon world leaders to expel Russia from the G8 summit of nations, and urged President Obama to impose economic sanctions on Moscow. Those sanctions most likely will include the seizure of assets of Russian business people, individuals, and officials doing business in the United States and Western nations. Again, those are fighting words. You start seizing assets, you're itching for a fight. And if you study the history of World War I and World War II, this is the kind of stuff that was being done before the outbreak of those two world wars. The U.S. Navy has started war exercises in the Black Sea, approximately 130 miles from Crimea. NATO has begun military exercises in Poland near the borders with Belarus and Ukraine. Belarus responded by asking Russia to deploy an additional 15 combat aircraft on its territory in response to increased NATO military activity along the borders of Belarus. So it's heating up. Now, will this become World War III? I don't know. But this is the kind of stuff that starts a world war. And this is the most dangerous time I've seen in the 15 years of broadcasting. Now, I think we often thought the war would start in the Middle East, but we're looking at the possibility right now that World War III could start in Eastern Europe, like the other two world wars. Well, my friend Stephen is on the telephone from Panama. I've known Stephen for many years. He's one of the first people that listened to me when I was on one radio station in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas in 1999. We became friends. And Stephen was so jolted by the message I was delivering in 1998 and 1999. I was fresh out of TBN. God had given me that vision where I saw America on fire. I saw buildings burning down. I saw refugees. And I was absolutely on fire with the the message of the Lord, declaring that America would be judged if the United States of America did not repent and return to God. And Stephen and his wife heard that message in the early days of this ministry. They believed it. And they said, we know this is from the Lord. We know judgment is coming. And they moved out of Dallas-Fort Worth, and they went to Montana. And they had a beautiful log house on a nice large property in the mountains of Montana. And Stephen raised his family there. He built a business from Montana. And he hunkered down in the mountains of Montana. And he stockpiled and prepared for the judgment that was coming on America. And he thought he did what was right, because he heard the warning, he heard the message of the Lord in 1999, and he acted on it, and he never stopped acting on it. But last year, the Lord startled him, and the Lord told him, you built your nest in the wrong forest. And long story short, before he knew it, within months, he and his family were living in Panama in Central America. And he's been on the program before to tell us that amazing story of how God suddenly changed the direction of his life. Now that he's in Panama, God has opened up numerous doors for him to minister in the churches of Panama. He's been welcomed with loving arms by the Panamanian people, who are some of the kindest, most wonderful people you'll ever meet. I love the Panamanian people. And I love their coffee, too. They got great coffee. And those two together, kind people and great coffee. That's a great combination in my book. So Stephen is on the phone right now from Panama. Stephen, welcome back to True News.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's great to be here.
Yes, sir. I know you're a very healthy guy, so do you drink the Panamanian coffee or do you pass on it?
I couldn't resist.
It's great, isn't it? It's some of the best coffee you'll ever taste anywhere.
It really is.
Yeah, it is. Well, anyhow, seriously, we're glad to have you back and appreciate you taking time to be on the program. You know a lot of the things that are going on here with the ministry and our family. You and your wife are standing in prayer for Susan, and we've been friends for a long time. So we're not strangers here. You know the things that we have to deal with. But Steve, I got to tell you, something changed at the beginning of this year, 2014. I mean, it has been an amazing year. The doors opened up. It's like every week God is just expanding us. And at the same time, you know, I've been waging spiritual war for my wife because she's been taking the brunt of the attack from the enemy, trying to slow us down. What do you think's going on, 2014?
Well, I think it's a separation that's taking place right now. And I believe that there's blessing that's coming to the obedient, and there's judgment that's coming to the disobedient. And many people right now are having to make some very radical choices in their own life of which group they want to belong to, because, you know, every day you bring out the reality of what's going on in the world, and I know for many, they don't like to hear a word that's not comforting. And Lord, when we actually came here, one of the things he said to me was, you willingly leave your comfort zone or your comfort zone will leave you. And this is where the struggle is, I think, for many people right now, is are they willing to leave their normal place where they've always felt comfortable, and maybe in their lifestyle or maybe in their physical location, are they willing to make some changes in their life? And I believe what the Lord even said to me recently is there will be no comfort zones, that he's going to remove them, and it's going to put us all in an element of just trusting God. I had a great storage of all my necessities that I thought I would need through the worst of the worst. And I even remember I was just, some things came back to my mind. I think it was a Saturday that I was up there at the office at your place, and we were packing non-Heimberg C packets into priority boxes, and they were stacked to the ceiling.
And that was 1999. That was 99. And that was in our house.
Oh, that was your house.
Yeah.
I just remember they were to the roof.
Yeah, that was inside our home. We had non-hybrid seeds everywhere, in the bedroom, in the closet. They was everywhere. Yeah, you were there.
And I just remember, you know, we were doing everything that we knew to be prepared for what we understood. And, you know, we only had little bits and pieces of this information, and we were trying, you know, actually we're maybe shoving pieces of the puzzle in the wrong place just out of our own need to try to build this puzzle, because we knew something's going to happen. We were just trying to figure out how it was going to happen. But the main thing was that we rolled out of bed, that God, you know, disturbed our comfort zone, and we got out of bed. And I look back, and I think a lot of people, how they just kind of mocked us in some ways that, well, look, nothing happened. But you know what? Something did happen, and we got out of our comfort zone that we, even though it didn't happen at that time, at least we were out of bed where they were still snoozing. And I'm afraid that the church has become like Rip Van Winkle. You know, they're just, they've been in beds for so long, they just don't want to get out of bed. And actually, they get mad if you disturb their sleep. And I was just looking through some of these old notes from about a year and a half ago. And I was, during the night, just before that first interview, the Lord woke me up a few times. And one of the things that he said to me was that your program was going to be one that will strengthen those who are awake rather than awaken those who are asleep. And that's what I see what's happening right now with the ministry that what you're doing right now is that you are providing strength and encouragement and truth for those who are hungry for the truth. And so this is exciting to see how these pieces are all now coming together that God's doing.
That's right. And you're going to be one of the programmers on our new World Band Shortwave Radio Network. Stephen is producing a program called Strength for the Journey, and it will be heard every Saturday and Sunday nights on our shortwave stations. Again, frequencies 5850 and 7455. And again, starting this Saturday and Sunday in the evening. So make sure you tune in. Called Strength for the Journey. We're glad to have Stephen producing this program for us as part of what it's our calling to. God showed me that Flowing Streams was to be a food factory for the saints of God in the last days. He just showed me that they're suffering spiritual malnutrition because the churches are putting out a lot of junk food. And the Christians are wandering around looking for spiritual nourishment. And what he showed me was he was going to turn us into a food factory. So that's why I asked Stephen if he would produce a program every week. And we're not charging him for the program. We're taking this on by our faith in God and believing that the Lord will provide the finances to operate these radio stations. I just want Stephen to produce a program that nourishes you. And so we're so glad to have him part of this new expansion. But you're right.
It was a real privilege.
You did give me that word. I remember you giving me that word that we were going to feed those who were awake, not those who were asleep.
Yeah. Right. You know, it was actually one time I was in church, and I, when we first got here, and the people were just up in the front, just with their hands. I mean, it's like 95% of the church was up in the front with their hands up in the air, just worshiping the Lord. And I said to myself, why aren't they hungry like this at home? I said, why are they so hungry here? And the Lord asked me a question. He said, have you ever been hungry while you were asleep? And I thought, no, I've never been hungry while I'm asleep. And then I realized that that's really the reason why the church at large in America isn't really hungry, because they're really asleep.
It's kind of like Stephen. One time I asked the Lord, why won't the preacher say anything about what's going on in the world? And he said, they don't have anything to say. I mean, it's simple as that. That was the answer. They don't have anything to say because they're empty.
Yeah. Yeah, you can only give somebody just a bunch of good news for so long without having having them just go into a state of comfort. And, you know, the more I've been seeing how God has transformed my life ever since the day one, the first thing I asked him, I said, well, God, I said, I want to know your voice. How do I know it's really you? Because I know I had situations where I should be dead, and I know I heard a voice that warned me, and I obeyed the voice, whether it was changing lanes on a highway or leaving someplace I shouldn't be, and my life was spared. And so when I asked him that question, the words came back to me was, eliminate the devil. And I don't think like that, and never read the Bible hardly at all in my life, so I was started pondering on thought, where did a thought like that come from? And then, what does that mean? And then the next thought came to my mind was, eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived. And then he began to show me that he's the spirit of truth, and he's come to give us life and give it more abundantly. And on the other hand, Satan's the father of lies. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. When you eliminate one, what do you have left? So I began to go through my life and really trying to discern where deception was coming in my life. And I remembered one word that really stuck out in my mind was eliminate. He didn't say do in moderation, cut back on, but he said eliminate. And what that really told me was I would never truly discern his voice until I eliminated what I knew wasn't his voice. And this is kind of the tough road that many people don't want to follow because they don't want to hear a road or a message that is restricting or corrective. And we just have to get to a place where we don't care what God says to whether it's sell everything we own and go move to a foreign country. Our response just has to be, yes, sir, you know what's best. And so a lot of just the little steps of obedience that I did along the way actually helped me discern God's voice because I never would have known it was God speaking to me until I had actually obeyed. And then after I obeyed, that's what gave me the confirmation it was really God speaking to me. And I think that's step one for everybody right now is they need to hear God's voice. They need to get a clear message from the Lord. What does he want them to do right now? And
so they got to tune out. They have to tune out the world.
They do. They do have to turn. it's really kind of interesting. God was preparing me to make this move, sometimes I sit and watch the news, and he asked me one night, he said, do you want to watch the news or do you want to make the news?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, everybody's just sitting there like a bunch of deer and caught in the headlights, waiting for everything just to happen, and they just need to turn all the distractions on, get on their face before God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And just repent for their apathy and lack of obedience and just watch what God will do if they will just come to that place of humility and just fall broken before him.
And Stephen, a common thing that I've heard from Christians is that the longer they are Christian, the harder it is for them to hear the Lord's voice. And they'll say, it seems like his voice is fainter to me. And they're worried because they think something's wrong with them, that they can't hear the Lord's voice. But the Lord gave me a wonderful picture of what was happening. It's whenever you're with somebody in a room, let's say you and I are in a room. Okay. If I speak in my normal voice, I go, Stephen, you're going to hear me. You're going to look at me and say, what? Okay. But if I lower my voice and I go, Stephen, maybe you got to strain a little bit. Was that you, Rick? Did you speak to me? And then I take it down another notch. Stephen. Okay, what are you going to do, Stephen? You have to start moving towards me. If you desire to hear me, if your heart is inclined, you really desire to hear my voice, you're going to come closer to me, and I'm going to lower my voice to a whisper, Stephen. And I can lower my voice to such a level that you have to bring your face up to my face. And I have to whisper in your ear. Okay, when you're that close, you now have formed an intimate relationship where I can put my arm around you and whisper in your ear, Stephen. Okay, that's what the Father is doing to us. The longer we walk with him, the softer he talks to us. He's not trying to make it hard for us to hear him. He's trying to get us to come closer to him.
That's right.
And when you get close to him, you'll hear the faintest whisper in your ear.
And this is how close everybody needs to be right now. They need to be as close to him to hear his whisper.
I think it's life and death.
I do too.
I think if, right now we're in such a dangerous time in this world history that if you don't hear God's voice, it could cost you your life. Now, I didn't say it's going to cost you your salvation. It could cost you your life. You may end up going home with the Lord a lot earlier than was originally planned because you got caught in some place sometime at the wrong time. These are dangerous times. These are very dangerous
times.
Well, I'll
tell you how important it is to hear his voice. You know, John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." And then it says, "And I know them, and they follow me." And I've always questioned, well, why didn't it say, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me"? Why do you say, "And I know them"? And as I was looking at that more deeply, I was just kind of amazed that the connection between when he says, "I know you not," potentially when those, that day when we all stand before him, there's one key connection that I can find of whether he knows us is if we know his voice. So that's why it is so critically important that people discern his voice. They won't follow the voice of another, but they will draw close to the Lord, and because they love him and they want to be with him. And there's some major changes that went on with me about a year ago. When we got here, the people of the church nominated me to be the leader of the men's ministry, and it turns out that this is the first time a gringo had ever been nominated into a leadership position in the Assembly of God Church in the whole 45-year history of the church.
A gringo that can't speak a lick of Spanish.
Exactly. So what's going on here? But what's really interesting is the next morning I woke up. The Lord actually woke me up, and he was almost like, I felt like he was in my bedroom. And I was just weeping in his presence, and he was talking to me, and he said, I'm going to teach you how to catch fish. And he goes on, says that there's two things that have to be accomplished if you're going to be successful catching fish. The first is that you have to capture their attention, and then you have to capture their affections or their desires. If you capture both, you'll capture the fish. And then he said it's no different in capturing the souls of men. And he went on to just explain things to me. Actually, there's an article on the website called Fishing Anyone that kind of talks about that. But this is something that happened that morning, and it continues to happen for the last year. The Lord will wake me up during the night, and I just have a journal, and I just write what I'm hearing him say, and then I write these articles that I put on the website to just share what the Lord's sharing with me. And another piece of the puzzle that I see that happened was when I was sitting in church one day, and the people were up there worshiping, and I said, "Lord, feed these people and take care of them." And I heard him speak back to me. He said that, "I will feed them. I will take care of them." And then he said, "I'll feed them food they know not of." And then he dropped the word in my heart, hidden manna. And I didn't understand what he was saying. What in the world, all this, what is he saying here, hidden manna and feed them food they know not of? And then he took me to John chapter 21 later, and I was looking, recounting the incident where Peter was out fishing with the other disciples, and they had fished all night, of course, and they didn't catch anything. And then the Lord tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. And then when they got back, and of course Peter swims to shore, and when they got there, Jesus is already cooking them fish. And he feeds the disciples first, and then he tells Peter to feed his sheep. And what the Lord was showing me was that he's not requiring any of us to feed the sheep until he feeds us first. That he wants to feed those that are going to feed the sheep first. And this is what I believe that he's doing. I didn't realize that he was going to put me in this place of feeding. But that's what it's kind of turned into, is that the Lord just gives me some words or insight, and then I just feel like I'm supposed to deliver the word. And I didn't know what to do with these articles I was writing. And I talked to you one night, and you said, well, why don't you start a website? And I go, well, I don't know anything about building a website. And you just kind of gave me a word or said, well, check out WordPress. So I did, and went and Googled it, and then went to YouTube University and found some instructional videos, and then I built a website. And then after that, we went, I think you interviewed me. Actually, it's kind of interesting. I felt the Lord impress me to do a duplicate website in Spanish. And so I did that, and then the Lord impressed on my heart that when I was finished that you would give me a call. And sure enough, the weekend that I finished you, I got an email, and you wanted me to be interviewed again. And then after that, the church approached me to start do a radio program for them. And they wanted to do an English-speaking program and asked if I would do it. And I had already had a few things on my heart that I was, you know, that I thought, well, maybe I can do it this way. And so I was doing that for about 6 months. And then you called me and asked to do a radio program. So God has just led each step of the way. I just know it's just amazing to see, you know, him guiding and leading and directing the steps.
And we never see the full picture. We just see the step in front of us, and we take one more step in obedience and in faith. But we never see the big picture. We never see the whole thing. He just shows us enough, and then he expects us to step in faith and obedience with what we do have, with what has been revealed to us. We take one more step, and then God enlarges the vision and our understanding of what we're doing for him as we take more steps. And that's the way this works. And you've been doing that. So, Stephen, I want to ask you, like I said in the beginning, I really love the Panamanian people. They're wonderful people to know. Very gentle, very nice, polite, easygoing people. There are different regions of Panama. You know, there's the coastline, there's Panama City, there's the mountains. And so it's slightly different depending on where you're at. But overall, the Panamanian people are just wonderful people. What is happening spiritually in Panama?
Well, I know there's a hunger here that God's wanting to feed the people. And it's interesting to find people hungry without being forced to the table. You know, it's one thing to be forced to go to eat dinner, and another thing that you're so hungry that you want to have a meal. And the people here have a real hunger for the Lord. And, you know, it's like, it's interesting, when we go out and passing out tracts, maybe down the downtown square, you know, we pass out a tract, and the local Panamanian people will just take a tract in a heartbeat and thank you for it. And then you walk up to a gringo sitting around the square, and they'll just, you know, get that thing away from me. I don't want it. And it's just interesting to see the difference in hungry hearts and hardened hearts. And so, God wants to feed the hungry. You know, the food is for the hungry. The bread is for the hungry.
You know, it seems like every time I travel to Panama, something supernatural happens, either on the flight or when I get there. I can think of two particular flights. One, I was on a Panamanian flight, airline. I forget the airline I was on, you know, everybody on the flight was Panamanian. I was probably the only gringo on the flight, left out of Miami, and I was seated in the aisle. And there was nobody in the middle seat, but in the window seat was a little boy, maybe 9, 10 years old. And so I'm like, where's his parents, you know? Well, on the other side of the aisle was a man, and there were two women in the seats there. And so as we were taking off, I leaned over to him, and I said, do you speak English? And he said, yes. And I said, is this your son? He said, yes. And I said, well, when we get into the air, I'll switch seats with you. You can sit with your son. He said, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So after we got up in the air, you know, we switched seats. And so I'm now sitting in the aisle seat on the other side of the aisle. And there were two ladies there. And I just assumed that they were all family. Well, they weren't. The two women were not related to the man and his son. But both of these women were medical doctors from Panama City. And so as we were flying along, the doctor sitting beside me, she asked me why I was going to Panama. And I said, well, do you want the polite answer or do you want the real answer? She said, well, I want the real answer. So I told her who I am, what I do on the radio and what I talk about. And I said, I believe a lot of Americans are going to flee to your country for safety. And she was shocked. And she looked at me and she said, you're a man of God. I had a dream. And can you help me understand it? And I said, sure. Tell me the dream. So she told me that she dreamed she was in her house at the kitchen. It was at night. There was a full moon outside. And suddenly the moon disappeared and there was unbelievable darkness. She said, you could not see anything. There was no light. And she said, I stumbled in the darkness trying to find my family to rescue them and find them and bring them to safety, but I couldn't see where I was going. And she said to me, she said, is the moon going to fall out of the sky? Why did I have a dream like that? What does this mean? And I said, did you have another dream? She goes, no, but something happened the next day. For real. She goes, I was walking down the street in Panama City. I walked past a church and a voice inside of me said, go into the church. She said, I opened up the church door. It was empty. I walked into the church and this voice was telling me, go to the front of the church. She said, I walked to the front of the church and I look up and there is the cross. And she said, as I gazed at the cross, it felt like warm liquid of love came over me. She said, it poured over me like a liquid love, and I felt safe, and I felt secure. And she looked at me, sitting on the plane. She said, can you explain this to me? And I said, yes, ma'am, I can explain it. And I opened up my Bible, and I read to her Isaiah 60. That gross darkness is coming upon the world. But the light of the Lord will be upon his people. And I said, the moon is not going to fall out of the sky, but God is telling you that gross darkness is coming upon the world. You will be unable to see your way. You will be staggering in the darkness. You will be struggling to find your family to save them in this darkness. But he also showed you that your safety, your security, and your light will be found at the foot of the cross. And at that point, Stephen, we were landing in Panama City. And I didn't get the finish because they began to deboard the plane, but I left her with that message that her light, her salvation, her safety, the love of God would be found at the foot of the cross. And I said goodbye to her and I got off the plane. And I've had other things like that happen. I was on another flight to Panama City, and this young woman sitting beside me, maybe 20 years old, began talking to me. And she was a college student, and she said she was flying back to Panama City. And I said, why? She said, because my mother insisted I leave the United States and come back to Panama City. And I go, why? And she just looked at me, and she said, because of the dreams. I said, what dreams? She said, I'm having dreams, my mother's having dreams, and my best friend in Panama City, he's having dreams too. And I said, what are the dreams about? She said, America on fire. Now, Stephen, What are the odds this is going to happen to me twice on a flight to Panama City?
Well, that certainly isn't by accident.
No.
Those things happen.
No. And God is showing people, just like little Maria in Ecuador, little four-year-old jungle, my little jungle baby. And she had a dream, and she woke up, and she told my daughter Carissa, she points to her eyes, Mia, see Jesus. Jesus come down. He come down with fire, everything on fire. She points to her lips, Jesus say it. What did Jesus say? He come down with fire, everything burn up. Why would a four-year-old child who can barely speak because of head injuries living in the Amazon jungle, why would she wake up from a Saturday afternoon nap and say she saw Jesus in her sleep and everything was on fire? Because the Lord is prophesying. He's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh.
That's right. It's interesting that not only am I waking up during the night getting prophetic words, but my wife is now, and one of my daughters is as well. And God is pouring out a spirit right now to reach people and to give them a stern, strong word. And, you know, I've been looking at Ezekiel, and, you know, there will come a time when the warnings will be over. And I was looking at Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 9. You know, it says that the end has come upon the four corners of the land. And so the reason why the end came was because the church, the ancients of Israel, were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They actually said that God doesn't have eyes, that he can't see us. And so they did all sorts of things in the dark, behind closed doors. And one of the things that I think is very dangerous when the church gets to a point where they don't live as if God's eyes are on them all the time, then they will justify things that they can do in the dark. And you know, this is the problem with, I think, some people when they don't think that God even speaks today, then maybe he doesn't see today either. And so, you know, I was just thinking, if you were in everywhere you went, that you had video cameras and monitors watching everywhere you walk through a store or whatever. I mean, you think somebody would be just crazy to try to steal something. And yet God's eyes are greater than the greatest video cameras, and yet we wouldn't do things underneath the video camera, but yet we do things underneath God's eyes.
And he's going to play it back on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
The whole video, he's going to play it back. These guys at the NSA and all these intelligence agencies, they think that they are building the ultimate surveillance system. Well, I got news for them. Everything they're doing in darkness is being recorded for Judgment Day.
Yeah. And one of the things I felt like the Lord's telling me is that because we as his people didn't want a loving Heavenly Father's eyes upon us, then Big Brother would watch us instead. And so I think what we're seeing right now is a manifestation of really it's you know, it's the church that's in charge of what goes on in the nation. And I believe that the church at large has gone to sleep on their duty, on their watch. And it's kind of like they were supposed to be tending this garden, and the garden grew weeds and it grew vines and it just overshadowed the garden to where not even the light can shine through now because they have not tended the garden and done their job as far as weeding out sin and calling it the way they should have.
That's
they
right.
I believe they justified their own sin by not preaching against it because they wouldn't want to condemn themselves by their own preaching.
Stephen, you know, my son Jeremy just recently finished production of a five-part video series called The Conquer Series. It's for porn addiction. And it's a group study for churches for men who are addicted to pornography. The series is based on the teachings of Dr. Ted Roberts, who specializes in counseling men with pornography addictions. According to Dr. Roberts, he says that from the surveys he has taken among groups of pastors, because this number I'm going to give you comes from surveys that have been taken from pastors, okay, where they've been asked to give a confidential answer to a question. Are you addicted to internet pornography? According to Pastor Roberts, over 50% of America's pastors who have been asked that question have privately, confidentially admitted, yes, they are addicted to internet pornography. 50% of the pastors he has questioned. That is unbelievable to me.
And, you know, that just reminds me of something that the Lord spoke to me here just recently. And it may be really shocking to many to hear this, but what I heard was, he said, as many are lost in the church as without. And I just kind of shocked. I said, what? And I couldn't even get the T on the end of my what. And he said, I'll prove it to you. He said, what's the divorce rate inside the church? And I said, it's about 50%. And he said, what's the divorce rate outside the church? About the same. And then he said, without skipping a beat, he said, as many as are divorced from me inside the church is out. And it's just interesting, this 50% just keeps coming up, that, you know, that so many people that they think that they have this Teflon coating because they said a sinner's prayer, but yet there's no repentance to follow it, and yet they... what better deception can the enemy put on somebody to think that they are saved or consider themselves saved when they're not? And so they don't even think they need to repent. And that's why I think that, you know, America is in real trouble right now, because they don't feel like they need to repent of anything, because all their sins are all covered, no matter what they do. And it's a very dangerous place to be.
Well, they've lost the fear of God. There is no fear of God. They do not believe God would judge sin.
No.
And you've got major pastors like Joel Osteen who say, I'm not even going to say sin. I'm not even going to say the word sin. And he is the most watched, most popular pastor in the United States of America. A pastor who openly says, I'm not going to say the word sin. No wonder he's the most popular pastor.
Absolutely. I recently went to a scripture where Jesus kind of sat his disciples down, and he said, and he looked at two of them, he looked right upon them, he said, and I tell you this, he says, fear not man who can merely kill the body, but fear him who can not only kill the body but cast your soul in hell. Fear him. And if the disciples were Teflon coated, then why would he look right in their face and say, fear him? Because there is no fear. It's a problem. It's when you think that you're covered no matter what you do, there's no reason to fear. And it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Paul said to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So this is a very narrow road that mm-hmm. Jesus has called us down.
Steve, I want to ask you, we've got about 5 minutes remaining. I'm curious to know, what is your perspective? How are you viewing the United States of America now that you've been out of the country for over a year? Are you keeping up with what's going on here, or have you just written it off and said, I don't want to know about it?
No, I do keep up with it, because I send words through Facebook and just, you know, everything I can to warn people, because I don't think he puts you in a position of knowledge.
Have things become stranger here since you've left?
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. Just I'm watching pieces of the puzzle fall in place. I was just reading the other day that there has been 9 events that have coincided with the U.S. forcing Israel to give away land for peace. And so we're in the 10th time right now, and I thought, well, there's been 10 plagues that were in Egypt. Will this be the final and last warning that God gives America? And here we are on V, I think. I can't remember now what letter they're on the winter storms, but they won't let up. And I'm wondering, is there a connection between what's going on behind closed doors to force Israel's hand to give away land for peace, And, you know, we don't know exactly all these little pieces of the puzzle, but they'll all make sense as they happen. But
what about America's embrace of homosexuality in the past year? I mean, if you believe the polls, the American people now, they agree. There should be gay marriage. We ought to accept homosexuality in society, if the polls are correct. Isn't this a sign of a society going down the toilet drain at a rapid rate?
Well, yeah, I think the toilet is swirling right now. And the reason is that the church didn't take a stand. They didn't make their stand and say, no, this is wrong. I'll just give you, for instance, the church. There was back about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a community that was attempted to be started here, a homosexual community. And the church I attend got on their faces before God and went into fasting and prayer to stop this thing from happening. And they didn't let up until the project completely dissolved. And it looks like a ghost town now. But this is where the Church of America should have been when this demonic realm was trying to take over. They didn't keep the garden weeded, and now the weeds are just—they've gone to seed, and the whole garden's filled. And now, what are you going to do? The whole garden has to be turned over at this point to start over. So
the tares have overtaken the wheat, and it's out of control now. But that's what's happened. The tares have overtaken the wheat, and the wheat is now outnumbered, and the tares are running things now. I mean, for centuries, the tares were kept in check. They were small in number, but they've been growing, and now they've overtaken. And the whole garden of America is being overtaken by weeds.
And maybe that's why the Lord told me that it was time to leave the forest. He said my nest was in the wrong forest because he knew something I didn't know. This was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, every day, I just thank the Lord, you know, for speaking to me that morning. And I'm just thankful that I obeyed him and came back, and nothing mattered more than my obedience. We sold everything we owned, and all of our whole family fit on a 15-passenger van with suitcases, and that's how we left.
You know, Stephen, many, many people who love Susan and me and love True News contact me and they say, Rick, you got to get out of here. You got to leave America. You've got to go now. And I'm talking about friends that have already left. And Stephen, you know, I'm here. I'm here by choice. I'm here because I believe the Lord has told me for this season to stay and continue to preach and continue to warn. I feel like the guy, you know, the deckhand on the Titanic, staying calm, telling people move to this side of the boat and get in the lifeboat, and hoping and believing and trusting there will be one more lifeboat for him to get into before the ship goes down. And the other day, Stephen, as I was looking at the news about Russia and Ukraine and the United States, and you can see where this is going. There's a real possibility of a world war happening very soon because of this tension. And I said, Father, will Susan and I, will we get out of America before it burns to the ground? And I opened up my Bible, and I was looking at Jeremiah 17, verse 17. You are my only hope in the day of doom. And I rested in that word from the Lord. My friend, whatever God is telling you to do, do it. Trust Him. Believe Him. Never give up on Him. He will deliver you. He is your only hope in the day of doom.